All right, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this Tuesday, September 17th, 2019 meeting of the Board of Garrett County Commissioners. I want to welcome everybody. Thank you for coming. If you would please stand and join me in the pledge, and then Pastor Kroll will lead us in the invocation.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, Lord God, we always want to ask your blessing on the region, and when we ask your blessing on the commissioners, we're asking that you also bless this region. We ask that you would bless it through them, grant them wisdom and insight and unity, good ways to be able to bless the people of the area. And we thank you, Father, for the beauty of the season as we await autumn glory. It's already begun. We can see your handiwork, Lord, and we're thankful for that. So give us glad hearts and give us sharp minds for helping others as we see the need. We pray in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The Board of County Commissioners met in executive session on September 9th, 2019 at 12:10 p.m. under the Open Meeting Act 3-305B to discuss the appointment, employment, assignment, promotion, discipline, demotion, compensation, removal, resignation, or performance evaluation of appointees, employees, or officials whom this public body has jurisdiction, or any other personnel matter that affects one or more specific individuals. The meeting was adjourned at 12:15 p.m. Mr. Knoll, is there any additions, corrections, or changes to the public meeting agenda?
No, sir, there are not.
Hearing none, we have a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
We have a motion, we have a second.
Second.
Motion and a second. The agenda is approved by mutual consent. Everybody got a copy of the minutes in advance of the meeting. Are there any additions, corrections, or concerns with the minutes? Hearing none, we have a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
We have a motion, we have a second.
Second.
Motion and a second. The minutes are approved by mutual consent. We have a light agenda today. And the first and only order of business on the agenda is Garrett County Purchasing Department for a bid award for Kaiser Ridge Business Park Wastewater Treatment Plant. Brian, what do you got for us?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. One agenda item for your consideration. It is for the contract award for Kaiser Ridge Business Park Wastewater Treatment Plant. The bids were due on July 11th. We received a total of 5 bids. After reviewing the bids, the recommendation is to award the contract to BICO Enterprises, Inc. Total contract price of $3,362,326. There's a contract duration of 365 days with this project. As part of the bidding process, there were some ad alternate items which are lumped in that bid price. One item we wish for not to move forward an award, but to ask the board to reject, and that's item D, which was an additional membrane skid package for the plant. There is a current allocation in this fiscal year 2020 budget of $3,714,090.70 to cover the expenses. Any questions?
Questions? Hearing none, do we have a motion to approve the recommendation purchasing department for BICO Enterprises for the Kaiser Ridge Business Park Wastewater Treatment Plant for the total amount of $3,714,099, which includes alternate A, B, and C?
Hold it.
I'm sorry, $3,362,326.
I'll make the motion to accept that.
All right. We have a motion. Let me clarify. We have a motion for Kaiser Ridge Business Park Wastewater Treatment Plant for BICO for a total amount, including alternate A, B, and C, of $3,362,326. We have a motion to that effect. We have a second.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
All right, that was the only agenda item that we had in the business side. Is there any public comments or questions? Yes, ma'am.
Could you elaborate on the MOU about the performing arts center that trying to apologize.
Sure. What would you like us to elaborate on?
What was that about?
Kevin, you want to take that?
Sure.
Time or?
Yes. So this is a memorandum of understanding between the county, the college, and the Board of Education. The college board had requested that before they proceed with bids, that there was a operational agreement for the Performing Arts Center between the three entities. And so the steering committee has been working on this under Dr. Midcap. So this is intended for the first complete fiscal year, 10 years of the for the CPAC, which runs through 2032. That's 12 years. 2030, I guess. Beginning in July 1st, 2020, which is the first year that we believe that the CPAC should be operational. And it just defines who's responsible for what and how we share the use of the facilities.
I believe the college board's going to adopt this tonight.
Yes.
And then release a
press release
as well.
Yes.
Right. Anyone else? Yes, we did. We were waiting for you to say something, actually. do you want to, just for the benefit of the audience, just explain that?
Well, I do Facebook quite often, and there's a WBAL TV report about Howard County being designated a bee sanctuary. And there are bee cities throughout the United States, and Howard County has decided to join that effort in trying to educate people against neonicotinoids, which are one of the primary insecticides that affect the health of bees. So in reading that, I thought, wow, we have a lot of agriculture in this county. We also have beekeepers, one of whom I know, the country parson. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that would be a good idea to see if Garrett County could also involve itself in the, it's also a bipartisan effort. Everybody loves bees. Everybody eats honey. Everybody loves bees, right? So what do you gentlemen think? I mean, just offhand.
Well, I'll tell you what I think about it. I mean, I'm the former of the group, I guess. So, you know, I totally agree that bees are being endangered, especially the honeybees and so forth. They, with the pesticides and insecticides and so forth that are being used. As far as a sanctuary, I'd want a little bit more information as far as how it would be controlled and so forth. I really don't know, you know, what the repercussions or anything would be to in the long range. What would the rules and regulations be? So I think I'd have to, you know a little bit more about that, and probably Cheryl or somebody like Cheryl DeBerry or somebody, if she would look into that for us. We'd at least on my part of it. I won't speak for Jim and Paul, but I'd be willing to, you know, get some more information about it, at least.
I forwarded your email to Cheryl. She's obviously, you know, she's our ag marketing or ag economic development person. And I think Larry's right. It's a great idea, but it requires further study and investigation. And she said that the counties that designate themselves as bee sanctuaries are doing so by banning non-organic application of pesticides on county-owned or public lands. And then she gave an example of why we need to look further at it. And I think she said there were some invasive pests, and she gave the example of the spotted lanternfly, that I guess there are certain pests that if you don't use anything against them, could completely destroy certain types of trees and have a big impact on the forest. So the bottom line is, like Larry said, we've asked Cheryl to look into it, and she might have to pull some people together to look at it and see what could we do? What kind of things can we do?
Mostly what I could see was education. I mean, they were spending a good deal of their efforts in educating not only the public, but also the users of insecticides, and especially homeowners. I think they're, or maybe that's the state of Maryland, I'm sorry, the state of Maryland's ban on insecticides is primarily aimed at households rather than, say, agricultural or professional users of pesticides, et cetera, et cetera. But,
well, I think they have a big debate right now between, or a debate between Montgomery County and the state, and I think it deals with preemption, where Montgomery County, I think, banned certain pesticides from being used on lawns and other things. And I think the state has taken issue with that, saying that Montgomery County didn't have the authority to do that, that that's actually the state's role. So I know that came up at the Maryland Association of Counties conference we had. So the bottom line is we're going to ask Cheryl to study it and look into it and see what we could do.
And she may reach out to you if that's okay.
Oh, yeah. Fine.
Yeah.
I'm part of the farmer's market, so I know.
Right. And thanks for your email, too.
Larry, yeah. Has there been a shortage of pollinators? Have we faced that crisis? I know the guy that used to produce honey in my neighborhood doesn't anymore. Is this a problem that's pushed? I know it's true someplace. Is it true here?
In quite frankly, I don't know that it is a problem at this point in time, but you know, not saying it's not, but I just personally don't know.
Well, Mr. Lee was having big problems. He's the Country Parsons and a member of the Farmers Market Association there. And he was telling me he was losing many of his bees. They didn't have enough food. He was having to feed them, you know, by his own hand.
Yeah.
So I know now, whether that means they had pollen disease or not, I don't know.
Not saying this is the case, but you know, personally, I don't use insecticides and so forth because I don't crop a lot of years in a row to be able to have to do that. Some farmers do, and they use more. So maybe he's in an area where they have continuous corn crops and spray those type of things. I don't know. I couldn't say yes or no. But, it might be just an area that has that problem. Maybe not. But you know, like I say, personally, I don't use that because I don't continuous crop anything.
I have a friend who has a lot of land, and none of his apple trees are pollinated. And he may be in an area too, like you're talking. I mean, there are farms on one side of him, and maybe they were using chemicals. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he actually pollinated trees himself.
We should save blueberries. We should save blueberries.
Yeah.
I had a great blueberry crop this year. And blackberries.
Yeah, right.
Does anyone have any other question or comment? Yes.
I just wanted to, in advance of my question, say that Cheryl DeBerry and Nathaniel Watkins came to the Democratic Club 2 weeks ago. They gave a great presentation on the state of the internet in the community and answered a lot of questions. And I just wanted to give them public kudos for coming.
Thank you.
But speaking on another communication method, I just wondered if there had been any update about some of the efforts to try to get the television channel switch. I know that you were investigating what was going on in the state of West Virginia, and I just wondered if there had been any progress, more information.
We met with the regional, I want to say the regional director of Comcast, is that correct, at MACO?
It's the government affairs director for Comcast.
Yeah, government affairs director from Comcast at MACO. Spoke with him about what we were trying to do. I guess he's been involved in this effort for several years. What we didn't know, when this first started years back, for me, 4 or 5 years back, I was under the impression at that point in time, and told people when asked about it, that the way that would work would be that you would have both Maryland and Pennsylvania channels. The guy we spoke with at Mako said that is not accurate. If you get, the only way you can get this to happen is to have a modification to the FCC to modify the market. And if that were the case, it would totally, you would no longer get the Pittsburgh channels. You would only have the Maryland channels. I will tell you, we have gotten a lot of feedback from a lot of folks, and that is not something that a lot of people want to see. So we do have a lot of people that want to see market modification. We have a lot of people that don't. And right now, that's sort of where we are, learning that. The federal delegation is ready to support whatever we request in the end. I do know that if we could get something with DirecTV or Dish, you would be able to get both. But I'm not real sure how you do that.
No, it's one or the other also.
Well, I was told differently than that. So we'll have to. But as of right now, it looks like it's an either or, not a both. And I think that changes the conversation a little bit. So that's where we are right now.
The one thing that I wonder, you know, certainly every community has some nuance of difference than the other.
Sure.
I wonder if, for me, one of the issues came when last year during Florence, the governor was on television talking about our state of emergency here in Maryland because of the storm, and very clearly said, stay tuned to your televisions for more information on this emergency. And that just put it into a whole new light. How do we get emergency information, particularly those people who are already struggling without internet, to try to get that kind of information? And I just don't know how to rectify that if we don't try to get that Maryland news, how do we continue to get needed emergency and other kind of information?
Yeah. Well, and that will be, and speaking off the cuff, I think, having grown up here, more people probably would rather stay exactly the way they are than change. And I think we could really open a hornet's nest up with this issue.
I didn't mean to change. I meant if that could be an exception, yeah, in terms of somehow, without changing, get that news,
right,
because of the emergency situation.
I think, I mean, you guys correct me if I'm wrong. I think people have been fighting this battle for a very long time, and I think they've tried to, for lack of a better term, have their cake and eat it too. I mean, obviously the best case scenario is we'd be able to get Maryland and keep what we have. It doesn't look like that's probably going to be in the cards. My takeaway from the conversation with the gentleman from Comcast was, I think he said, and Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong, that he only knows one place that ever had a market modification done. It's not an easy thing to do. But, you know, that, so there we are. I mean, it could be quite controversial, I think, if we tell people we're going to make a decision that's going to totally change their medium of news.
Do you think it's mostly sports?
Yes and no. And to some people, that means more to them than anything else. But I do know a lot of people like the weather and rely on the weather more. What I hear, so you know,
there is a process to emergency management. I had dental surgery, emergency management, where you can go in and sign up, and you can get alerts on your cell phone or email type alerts or text that come through the Maryland Emergency Management System. I can't remember what it's called, but we can.
Well, and also the 911 center for weather-related emergencies, specifically for Garrett County, they will send out alerts to your phone or text, and it's automated, it's automatic. You don't have to sign up for it. But specifically, there's other alerts on the, you can sign up for on the homepage of the Garrett County.
That's right.
Website.
That's right. It's on our website.
You could ask for specific alerts, such as environmental issues or things like that. But if there's a weather alert specific for Garrett County, they'll push that information out. Now, the problem with that is that it only goes primarily landline unless you've signed up, because that's all they have access to. We don't have access to cells. So you can actually check for weather alerts to be pushed out to you also.
And that would be local information?
Local, correct.
Stadium.
Yes. Yeah. So if there's a tornado warning for Garrett County, you'll get that. Yes.
Paul, since you said DirecTV and Dish, you think can provide both?
I've been led to believe that. Kevin disagrees, so maybe he has information I don't have.
My understanding is what they did in West Virginia, they took them from Pittsburgh to Morgantown or
Charleston, somewhere.
Whatever it was. So they lost the Pennsylvania and they gained the West Virginia local. So they didn't have both.
Via satellite?
That was satellite. That was a Dish, I believe. So,
well, if you're correct, so I have DirecTV. I really want Maryland product. Are you going to pursue that? I mean, can you just clarify in some fashion? So, and is it a whole commission proceeding or FCC proceeding?
Yes.
For Dish and
that, yes, that's correct.
But yeah. If that's both, you could pursue both without any controversy.
And I think if that was the case, and we'll reach out to. Right. Rob Summerfield, I think, is taking the lead from the feds on this. If that's the case, I don't think we'd hesitate to push forward on that. I don't want to speak for them, but, I mean, if it's – you can have both.
I'll confirm that.
Yes, sir.
Before I went to Comcast, I had DirecTV, and you just contact them, and you can switch from Pittsburgh to D.C. area or Baltimore or whatever. That's what I did because we came up here from there. They'll just do it for you.
I have DirecTV and they won't do that.
I think they've cracked down on that a little bit.
What would work in the past is if you had an account, for example, in Montgomery County and you were here, right, they went by your billing address, right, so you could get it. But if your billing address is local, is in this market area, they won't do that.
There are people here who have given them a Baltimore billing address that have gotten Maryland State.
Yes, that's how they do it, because that's where they're.
So I'm just trying to put this in the box. And so it's not an FCC concern somehow.
No,
it's a geographic concern.
No, it is an FCC concern.
It is regulated by the FCC.
Yes.
The workaround from people that I think have done that in the past is they've given a bogus offer.
Our Baltimore friends and making an arrangement there.
That seems to be some way that has worked.
Yeah.
You could use your Baltimore jail.
because DirecTV will tell you that it's an FCC market selection and they don't have any authority. That's
I think it hadn't been that long that Mr. Hoffeditz spent. Yeah. He spent months and months and months working on this, talking to senators and congressmen and the FCC and everybody else, and he couldn't crack that nut either. So
let's do a referendum. Is everything we can find out if people really want it or not? We know, yes.
Well, if we all had good internet, then we could stream content from where
we want.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah.
So that $3 billion I read about in the paper. You direct that to internet for all, solves the problem.
Anybody have anything else? All right, hearing nothing, we have a motion adjourned.
So moved.
Quick note, the next meeting actually is Tuesday, October the 1st, which is a slight change to our normal schedule. That's to be able to get Garrett County's most beautiful out for Autumn Glory. So it will be Tuesday the 1st here instead of the first Monday. Thank you.